Time for Touchdowns and Fumbles, the communications plays of the week. Touchdowns and Fumbles is brought to you by The Simple Investor, making the world of real estate investment simple. And here, as usual, is our guest for this feature, Bob Reed, the principal at Broadway Strategy and Communications. Well, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. This is weird without Jerry to play off of, but... I will soldier on nonetheless. Here's the question that we put out for your input, and thanks to everyone who participated and who participates week after week when we do this. The communication story we were looking at is the Ontario Health Ministry refusing to respond to inquiries from Canadian press about how much, in dollar terms, people have been charged for refusing to move out of hospitals and into long-term care beds. This goes back to 2022 Bill 7, which requires hospitals to levy fines of $400 a day on patients who can be discharged, but they need to go to long-term care, and they're refusing to go to a nursing home that's selected for them by a placement coordinator because they'd rather go to a different home that's maybe closer to their family, all that kind of thing. Seven patients so far have been hit with the charge, but the ministry will not respond to requests about the dollar values, the dollar amounts that have been paid. And we asked, is that a touchdown or a fumble? Not about the policy, but about the decision not to release those dollar figure details. And the question revolved around, you know, is that a smart move on the part of the government by keeping out of those weeds, or do they have a responsibility for full disclosure? The results are in. And the votes came out as 67% fumble.
Fumble!
Two-thirds majority on that. And I can understand why people would take that view because, hey, it's the government and we expect answers and they should be accountable for decisions that are made and to tell us how policies are translating. That's the principle and that's a noble one, but... here's the reality on the reporting side of things and the communication side of things. Every story about government policy, particularly if it involves healthcare or anybody in vulnerable situations as elderly or compromised folks who are cared for in hospital and able to be discharged, that's when things can get squishy. And that's when the reporting goes from the macro level on the policy itself, it's $400 a day and yada, 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 to the micro level, the individual involved. And there are media reports out there about a woman in Windsor whose loved one has rung up a bill of going on $20,000 because of refusal to leave. And so when you get into those dollar figures and when you get into the personal stories of the people who are involved, the optics, frankly, suck. It looks like a cold-hearted government and or its bureaucrats are beating up on vulnerable people who are in a hospital bed, who have been found a place in a long-term care facility that's maybe really far from their loved ones, maybe really difficult for those family members to get to. Maybe they just don't like the looks or the amenities of the place, a whole bunch of reasons. But that's when things get really granular. And as I say, the optics get really ugly. So the strategic decision that I see being made here is let's keep it at the 30,000 foot level. Let's keep out of the weeds of the individuals and the dollar figures. We'll take the lumps for not being forthcoming, but we will save ourselves greater grief than if we go the other way. So I'm going to go the other way from the two-thirds who called it a fumble. Strategically, this one's a touchdown. My next item is the opposition stunt that took place at Queen's Park this week when a member of the Liberal caucus, their parliamentary leader, John Fraser, sent a can of mushroom gravy in a can, or in a bag, rather. He didn't throw it. He had a page take it over to the premier in the wake of the story about the growth in the size of the premier's office staff and how many of them are making more than 100 grand because they're on the sunshine list and all of that. And, of course, it was a callback to the gravy train that the premier's late brother, Rob Ford, when he was mayor of Toronto, said he was going to put a stop to. And when Doug Ford was a city councilor, he got in on that action as well. John Fraser told reporters, he said he didn't quite get it when he sent the can of gravy over. I had to explain it, but he should get it. And I think he should know, because to my recollection, I think the premier didn't quite invent the gravy train, but he has revived it over his career. So this was clearly a bit of political theater, a photo op, and I got to say, a great stunt. I worked in opposition politics, and to try and get heard by the media for anything is difficult at the best of times. This was a simple bit of theater, a great callback to the gravy train and all of that stuff, and a lovely little photo op, so I can't help myself. That one's a touchdown as well. Lastly this week, I want to revisit a story that I touched on when it was first breaking, but didn't make a call on it at the time because it was developing news and there were more questions than answers. And this is about Shohei Ohtani, the amazing now L.A. Dodgers baseball player who's one of the greatest to ever play the game, and his interpreter and personal assistant, who is accused of stealing $16 million to cover gambling debts that the interpreter rung up. And when this news broke, Ohtani said, "This is the first I've heard of any of this. I have had no knowledge of this. This money's been taken out of my bank account without any authorization from me. It's been stolen from me, and I don't bet on anything. I didn't sanction this. I didn't cover my friend's bets in any way, shape, or form. I'm completely removed from this." That was his positioning at the time, and I said at the time, he better be telling the truth, because the issue managers who were helping work with this very quickly reset the narrative from the interpreter, who said, "Yep, my dear friend, when I came to him and he knew I was in trouble, has bailed me out. He's given me the money to deal with my gambling debts." That narrative got turned around really quickly. And now criminal investigators who've been looking into this, the U.S. Attorney General's office in California, are saying they've got a paper trail, they've got documentation, they've got transcripts that shows that Ohtani's story actually is the truth, and that Mizuhura, the interpreter, is pretty much dead to rights on this stuff. So this is not a happy story on any account. It's unfortunate to see how much trouble this guy got himself into. It's very unfortunate to see that it appears he helped himself to his friend and benefactor's bank accounts to clear his debts. But for Ohtani, standing firm and being confident and consistent all the way through, it's a touchdown.